Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 536. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about vineyards, a wine festival, a wine museum, and then some other stuff. But basically, we're talking about wine because we're going to Bordeaux in France. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Stay tuned after this episode for an update on the two tours that we're doing next year with Amateur Traveler. But now, let's talk about Bordeaux.
I'd like to welcome back to the show Jennifer Dombrowski from LuxAdventureTraveler.com, who's come back to talk to us about another part of France. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chris. It's nice to be back.
And you happen to be living in France now.
I am. I am living in Bordeaux.
It's a dirty, thankless job, but somebody's got to do it.
That's absolutely right.
And you pitched me Bordeaux, not that it was difficult. Definitely a region I'd love to talk about, but we haven't yet on the show. But why should someone come to Bordeaux?
I was here a year ago, and even just a year before I moved to Bordeaux, a lot has changed. And it's funny because a lot of people didn't come to Bordeaux. They knew about Bordeaux because it's such a famous French wine.
We've drunk Bordeaux, yeah.
But it wasn't a place that people realize is even actually the name of a city in France. And for so long, the many wine chateaux around Bordeaux were really closed off to the public. Mm-hmm. All of the wine was sold in wine auctions long before it even goes into the bottles. And there wasn't much wine tourism that was going on here. But now the city has really revitalized itself, especially in the last year. And there's a lot of really unique wine tours that are happening here. The wine chateaus are opening up to the public. You can visit these beautiful, almost castle-like, fairy tale like vineyards, and you can taste the wines, and even many of them have shops now where you can actually purchase some of the wines right there from the chateau. So it's a great time to come to Bordeaux.
It's interesting how that didn't take off in Europe as soon as it took off in California, for instance. And I think a lot of Americans, when they went over, expected that there would be wine tastings everywhere, there'd be tours, there'd be shops and all of that, and that is just coming to eat some of these very, very classic wine regions.
That's really true. I've been to Napa Valley, and it's very, I hate to say commercialized, but wine tourism there mm-hmm. is. Every chateau has some sort of tasting tour, and sure. A lot of times you don't have to even book them in advance. You can kind of show up, and they actually hire people that are solely responsible for doing the tours.
Right.
But it's really different here, and especially I think it's hard for Americans to understand. You think of these just massive wine producers, especially here in Bordeaux. And it's really hard to even fathom that these wine chateaus that are turning out millions of bottles of wine each year have a staff of maybe 10 or 15 people.
Interesting.
So they don't have someone that is solely responsible for conducting wine tours. And when they do have wine tours, they really have to stop all of their other wine-related activities to have someone come and do a tour for you. So I think that's the difference in visiting someplace like Napa Valley, where wine tourism is an industry, and coming here to France, where the winemakers themselves are often doing the tours for you, and they want you to come and visit them, but it's really essential to book appointments in advance. They're very proud to show off their wine chateau, but they need that advance notice to take the time out to visit with you and show you around and properly have you taste their wines.
Let's put Bordeaux on a map for people who may not have a picture of France in their mind. Where are we here?
So we're in the very southwest corner of France. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at a map of Europe, you're going to find Bordeaux just above the border of Spain and slightly in from the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay. In the old historic region of the Aquitaine.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Which was for many, many years English, but not in recent years, going back to the days of Richard the Lionhearted at that point. Excellent. So what do you recommend for an itinerary for Bordeaux?
A lot of people come, and the way that most people are visiting Bordeaux right now is on a lot of the river cruises. But I think it's worth spending time and coming here to the city. So you definitely want to allot at least a few days to stay right in the city of Bordeaux. We have a new wine museum, which has been touted as the sort of Disneyland of wine museums, and it's called La Cité du Vin.
Okay.
That's right here in the heart of the city of Bordeaux, and it really takes a few hours to go through. And it's a museum that's not just about Bordeaux wine. It's about all of the world's greatest wine regions. And the visit ends with a wine tasting on the very top floor with a gorgeous panoramic view of Bordeaux. So even if you're not so into visiting museums, it's worth it for that wine tasting at the end alone.
Now, you mentioned that people are visiting Bordeaux on river cruises, and I had to look up. I honestly couldn't have told you what river Bordeaux was even on.
It's actually situated on the Garonne River, and it sort of goes off into a Y of the Dordogne, and then it flows out into the Atlantic Ocean. So people are coming to Bordeaux a lot of times on the river cruises, and it's a little bit different than the typical river cruises if you've been on one in Europe, because of the way the river is situated on this Y. So you kind of do a little bit of backtracking. I've been on the Viking River cruise through Bordeaux here. And you visit places like Cadillac, and also you can go to Cognac and visit some of the cognac houses like Hennessy. And you can even blend your own cognac from their barrels there. So that's a really interesting experience. And you get a bottle of cognac to take home with you.
And cognac being a distilled wine, if I remember my liqueurs correctly.
Yes, it's like a brandy. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's still made from grapes.
Right,
but
right.
It's much stronger, and you would have it as an after-dinner drink. And you can visit a lot of different the chateaus, do tours to Saint-Emilion, which is on the left bank. And then you can visit the Médoc, which is where the really famous wine chateaus like Lafitte Rothschild are located on the left bank. So you can do all of those things on a river cruise, but even though you see a lot, it still feels a bit rushed to me.
Okay.
Whereas if you come and you spend the time in the city, you can do a lot of these things now all on your own, and they're easily accessible right here in Bordeaux.
Okay. So where would you home base? First of all, you'd home base in Bordeaux itself?
You can definitely home base in Bordeaux. There's some really fantastic hotels that are here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there are vineyards that are quite close that you can reach within 15 minutes from the city, even on public transportation, which is great because, of course, France has very, very strict drinking and driving laws. Mm-hmm. So it's great when you can get out to the wineries on public transportation and not have to worry about driving out there and indulging a little too much.
Okay. So you started us at the wine museum. Where should we go next?
There's a lot of great things to do in Bordeaux. And if you're not into wine, there's things to do for the non-drinkers and even for families as well. So in Bordeaux, we have more listed historical buildings than any other city in France outside of Paris, of course. So there's just a lot of really beautiful architecture here. The city has the nickname the Sleeping Beauty, because this was a city that was a port city, had a lot of shipping. And so, of course, with all of the boats coming in and the industry that was here, you had a lot of pollution. And the buildings are made from a beautiful and very porous granite and limestone. And so they absorbed all this black soot from when this was an industrial port. And so for many, many years, the buildings were covered in this sort of black grime just from years and years of pollution. And over the last couple of years, the mayor has offered tax credits to residences and businesses to go ahead and do a cleaning of their buildings. And so now the city, it's so gorgeous. It's this very soft, creamy color, and the buildings have been cleaned, and it's very sunny here. This is one of the sunniest places in France, actually. And when you have that golden hour when the sun's getting ready to set and it illuminates the buildings in this soft light, it's my favorite time of day to sort of just stroll around and take in the beautiful buildings of the city.
Well, and you mentioned the beautiful buildings and the port, and I see that part of the old port is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site, the Port of the Moon.
Yes, it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So, of course, if you're interested in visiting UNESCO World Heritage Sites around the world, this is a great place to come and stroll around for that reason as well. And there's a lot of great rooftop views that you can get of the city. Bordeaux was a fortified city once upon a time. And so we have these old gates that are still left from when the wall surrounded the city. And there's several of them that you can climb up the staircases to the top and get gorgeous views over all of the old Roman parts as well as the newer neoclassical parts. And it's just so gorgeous to see where those two different times come together and how it's melded.
Is there a particular gate you would recommend we climb up?
I have several that I really like. There's one that's right along the river. And that's my favorite view point, because you can not only look over the river, but you also have the Mira de Ou, which is a water mirror. It's the largest water mirror reflecting pool in the world, actually.
Okay.
And it's situated just across from Place de la Bourse, which is where the famous classifications of the Bordeaux wines took place. Okay. And it's just this really, really gorgeous spot. And so you can climb up the gate there, have this view over the water mirror, over the Place de la Bourse, and then you can turn around and sort of look into the heart of the city, and you see the spires of the cathedrals sticking up, and you can see the cobbled streets of the old sort of medieval part of the town winding through, and just see people out enjoying themselves as they do here in Bordeaux. So that would be my favorite one to go up to. And of course, that's just a viewpoint. But if you're wanting to take in some wine with a viewpoint, you can go to the very heart of the city, to the Intercontinental Grand Hotel. And they have a rooftop bar there, and you can get a glass of wine and really sort of be in the middle of it all and looking around you and see everything that's going on while enjoying your wine. So that would be my other favorite.
Okay. And you mentioned the medieval center, and I see buildings going back to 1096 and the 12th century and those sort of things. But you also mentioned some Roman parts of the city.
Mm-hmm. We have a part of a Colosseum that mm-hmm. remains. It's called the Palais Gallien. And there's sort of different stories about how it came to be or the time that it's from, but it does date back to Roman times. And there's just a little bit of ruins left of it that are remaining. And you can sort of stand on a terrace and look out over the ruins that are remaining of the Palais Gallien. And you can picture what it was like to sit in the stands and take in the different events that they would have had there. And that's actually a free thing to do here in the city. So it's about 10 minutes strolling in from the river. It's very easy to access, and it's a beautiful viewpoint that a lot of tourists don't actually know about.
Okay. What else should we do?
Aside from the La Cité du Vin, which is the wine museum, there's a lot of other great museums that are here in Bordeaux. So you can go to the Modern Art Museum. There's a history museum, so you can take in the different parts of history that happened here throughout Bordeaux and France. Aside from museums, there's a lot of food-related things to do here in Bordeaux. This is a really great foodie city. One of my favorite places to go is the Marché Le Capuchins, and this is an indoor market that is open daily in the morning time, very early, from 5:30 in the morning until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and everyone that lives here in Bordeaux goes there to buy their fresh produce and things. But there's a lot of people that are selling things like fresh oysters from the Bay of Arcachon. Mm-hmm. And so you can get 6 oysters and a glass of wine for €5 and enjoy that. Or a steamed pot of mussels that are cooked in wine and creme fraiche. So there's different food things that you can do at the market, even if you're just visiting. So it's well worth going to.
And you mentioned foodie. Do you have other favorite restaurants in town that you would recommend, either for fancy occasions or simple dining?
I have favorites for both. The great thing about Bordeaux is that it is being revitalized. And so we have some of the world's most famous chefs setting up shop here. Gordon Ramsay has 2 different restaurants here. One is a bistro, which is more affordable and really anyone can dine there. And then, of course, he has a Michelin-starred restaurant. So if you really want to indulge, you can go there. There's a lot of young chefs that are also coming to Bordeaux who are very innovative, and they're mixing the southwestern French cuisine that this region is known for with more modern techniques. And so there's a lot of great places to come and eat in the city. I think that we could probably spend 2 or 3 hours alone discussing just that. But one of my favorites is a little place that is only open for lunch 3 days a week, and it has a set menu. But
and when we say a set menu, we don't always talk about this on Amateur Travel, so I want to make sure that if somebody's listening for the first time, so a fixed menu where there's an entree and a appetizer and a wine with it and a dessert all for one fixed price.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't have choices between what you're going to choose for your appetizer or your mm-hmm. entree. The menu is set for the day, and it's typically posted on a chalkboard, so you can definitely take a look at that before mm-hmm. you sit down and decide maybe the cuisine of the day isn't for you.
And well, and set by the chef with whatever is fresh today too, since we're in France. So
right, that's the thing about these set menus is that they change so often because the chef does prepare everything from fresh ingredients. Mm-hmm. They go to places like the Marché du Capuchins and they pick out the vegetables that are in season, the fish that has been freshly caught, the meats that are fresh from the farmers in mm-hmm. the region. And so they create their menus based on what they can obtain fresh for that day. So it changes, and they don't often post their menus online for you to look at it in advance, just because it's really hard to say
what they're going to find
gonna
that
be
morning. Yeah.
Fresh. We were talking about one of my favorite little places that's sort of more affordable than, say, a Gordon Ramsay Michelin starred restaurant here in Bordeaux. And this place is great too, because it's also a little wine shop. And so they have fantastic wine pairings. You can pick up bottles of wine there to purchase as well. It's called La Salle à Manger de Chartons. And like I said, it's open only for lunch, and it's only a few days of the week, Wednesday through Friday for lunch, and has the set menu, but it's quite affordable and you can have the wine pairing. So it's a really good favorite choice of mine here in Bordeaux for an affordable meal.
Okay. And for those people who can't make out when we're talking about things French, we'll have links to all these things in the show notes. Excellent. Where to next?
One of the ways that you can tour around Bordeaux, and this is more of a summer activity, it's done now for the season, but there's a company that will take you on a Harley Davidson tour of the vineyards. So that, I think that's a really cool way to, that's interesting to go out and have a different experience taking in the vineyards as you sort of ride through the rolling hills of nearby Saint-Emilion.
Now, am I riding a bike, or am I in a sidecar, or hanging on the back for dear life, or?
Hanging on the back for dear life.
Okay.
They don't allow you to rent and drive the Harley yourself because of the strict laws here with motorcycles in France. And so the guide has a helmet that has a radio where you can talk to each other and you can hear what they're okay. saying as they point out different sites, since you have all that wind that's whipping over you as you ride on the Harley. So you do ride with the guide, and they have multiple Harleys. So if you're coming with a friend or a group, you can all go and do this together. So that's one of the interesting ways that you can tour around.
And you haven't lived there quite all year round yet, but what would you recommend is the best time to come to Bordeaux?
So far, my experience has been that the weather is always fantastic. Right now, we're into fall, but it's still very lovely weather. Of course, all of the wine has been harvested now. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the fall colors that are on the vines. I think that when you decide that you want to come, really depends on what you want to see. If you want to see the grapes on the vines, I would really recommend coming in July to August. Even though the French take their holidays, and a lot of things like smaller businesses, like the cheese shops and things, close down, they really only affect the local people. And what's great about coming in August is the city is really, really empty, but this is not the time that the wine chateaus take their vacations. This is the time that they're really, really busy, because they're starting to gear up for the harvest, which will start to happen in late September and early October. So they're doing a lot of things like trimming the vines, and they're really open to welcoming people to the chateaus during that time. So it's a great time to come if you want to go visit wine chateaus and see the beautiful green vines with the grapes that are starting to ripen. Coming up soon, the Christmas market is starting to set up. So there's a big Christmas market here in December. It actually starts the 24th of this month, November, and will run until the day before Christmas time. So you can come in winter time and experience something a little bit different with the very festive holiday season, the little wooden chalets set up for Christmas markets, and you can buy a lot of locally made handicrafts from artists and buy a lot of different food items. Of course, have Binschold, which is mulled hot wine and roasted chestnuts. So that's another favorite time of mine to visit Europe and France in particular during the holiday season. And of course, spring is beautiful because you have all of the flowers in bloom. The vines are just starting to get their leaves again. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice time of the year to come. It's not too hot yet. And again, not everyone is here in the crowded summer season.
Okay, excellent. Where to next?
So you can also do a lot of great day trips from Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. The great thing about Bordeaux is that it's not all just about wine and food. You have to do things to work off the wine and food. So Europe's largest sand dune is actually located just outside of Bordeaux. Hmm. And you can climb up the sand dune. It's called the Dune du Plat. And you can climb up the front side of the sand dune. And if you're really adventurous, you can do things like paragliding off of the top of the sand dune and landing in the Atlantic Ocean. Or you can climb down the back side of it, which goes right down to the Atlantic Ocean. On the front side, there's a staircase to make it easy to get to the top and have this gorgeous view over the Bay of Arcachon. But if you decide to climb down the backside of it to go to the beach, where you'll find virtually no one, you do have to trek back up a very large and high sand dune. And I've done it, and it will definitely work off everything that you've eaten in France in a week in your hour trek back up that dune.
Well, and it looks like they're putting the height here, as I look it up, at about 110 meters. So 300 feet, so that's quite a few stories, so 20 stories. Yes. Or something like that.
It's pretty high. It's really spectacular to see. Looking out from the top, you see what's called the Bay of Arcachon. You have all of these sort of sandbars where France's majority of their oysters come from. So you can visit not only the dune, but you can go and visit some of the oyster farmers and eat the freshest oysters that you will ever have in your entire life. I didn't used to be an oyster fan until I came here last year, and I had my arm twisted into trying them, and now I'm a fan. They're the best oysters in the world.
Okay. Other side trips we should do from Bordeaux?
Spain is actually quite close, and we have the Pyrenees as well. So you can, within an hour of Bordeaux in the wintertime, you can go skiing. In the summer, spring, and fall, you can go hiking in the Pyrenees. So there's a lot of outdoor things to do. We talked about the rivers earlier on, and I mentioned the Dordogne River, and there's a lot of kayaking that you can do on the Dordogne River. And there's some really, really beautiful villages that sit up on cliffs, and you can kayak from village to village in the Dordogne. And so that's another great outdoor thing to do here in Bordeaux.
Well, and for listeners to this show, we did an episode on the Dordogne recently. And so this is actually someplace that is fairly close to there. So it's someplace that's easy to combine the two potentially in a longer trip.
I think that's one of my favorite things about Bordeaux, is that it combines all of the things that I love together. Having the outdoors so readily available, mm-hmm. yet having a bustling, really lively, exciting city to be part of outside of my doorstep.
Excellent. Now, you have been living in Italy for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the impression you're still learning French.
I am definitely still learning French.
How hard is it to get by without being a native French speaker in Bordeaux?
I think as far as coming here as a tourist, you're fine. English is not very widely spoken in Bordeaux, mm-hmm. like it is when you go to Paris. And so it's definitely been more challenging living here, because all of the things that come to daily life, like finding an apartment and setting up my utilities, have been sure. dealing with people that don't speak any English. And I did not speak French before I came here. And so I'm learning, but as someone that's visiting the city, I don't think it's any reason to be concerned about not being able to communicate. The people that work in restaurants and shops and all of the museums and activities that I've mentioned, they have those available in English. Most wineries speak English. And when you visit their website, when you're deciding which wine chateaus that you do want to visit, they will list the languages that are available. So if you're not a French speaker and they don't offer a tour in English, that's probably not the best wine chateau for you to visit.
Okay.
But it's relatively easy for someone that's visiting the city to get about without speaking French.
Before we get to my last questions, are there things we want to cover?
I am every day just delving into the city and the surroundings more and more. And so it's something that I've been writing about on my website, Lux Adventure Traveler. So definitely come and follow me there because
you're still discovering.
I'm still discovering. And every day it's something new that I discover, or a new chocolate shop, like this new one that's Chocolat Hansa has just recently opened. And now this is the best chocolate shop in Bordeaux. And they've just received the award for the best chocolate shop in France. There's all of these new things that are always happening here to discover. So it's really hard to say, oh yes, you have to do this or that. So I'm working on writing a guide because there isn't a whole lot of information out there on Bordeaux.
What's the best day you've spent in Bordeaux so far?
Sundays are oddly my favorite day in Bordeaux. And I say oddly because it's a place that's still very traditional. Mm-hmm. And Sunday is a day of rest and not a whole lot is open. But one of my favorite farmers markets happens every Sunday on the quay, which is along the riverside. It's the Marché de Chartons. And there you can go and eat all of these wonderful things. And I do my weekly shopping. My dog lives here with me in France. So we go together every Sunday and we kind of relax and have some wine along the river, some fresh oysters, do our fruit and veggie shopping for the week. And then I usually stop on the way home and have a glass of wine outside a terrace at one of the many, many wine bars that there are here in Bordeaux. Those days that I can just really enjoy my surroundings and sort of soak up the atmosphere of this beautiful city are my favorite times.
Okay. Best day of the year to come, festival or event or...
In June, every year, there is a festival called Fête de Vin, and this is a wine festival that sets up along the quay side, and it's over 2 kilometers long. You have wineries from every appellation of wine that there is here in the Bordeaux region, and there are 57 different wine appellations within the wine region. So you can get a tasting pass, and you actually taste a wine over the course of the 4-day-long festival. You can taste one from all 57 appellations. You might need to have a little detox after your trip to Fête du Vin, but you can really enjoy and taste all of the different types of wines that are offered here in the region. And they are quite different. You have everything from sweet wines that are very golden in color to, of course, the traditional Grand Cru Classe Bordeaux wines.
Excellent. That's the Fête de Vin.
Yes, and that happens every year in July.
Excellent. You mentioned the wine museum. Are there other particular museums or places where you have been able to get in touch with the culture?
I really like the different art museums that are around the city. Mm-hmm. Just today, before we got on our Skype call here, I was at a little exhibition of Arts and Gourmands. So art paired with great food. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great local artists that are here in Bordeaux, and being able to see and talk with them about their artwork is really unique. So there's a lot of those types of exhibitions that go on, or there might be a special exhibition at Le Cité du Vin, the wine museum, and sometimes there are longer exhibitions that happen at the Modern Art Museum that's located here.
Well, and I appreciate a festival for gourmands, because I am more of a gourmand than a gourmet. Someone who loves eating isn't necessarily all that picky about it, though. Prettiest spot in Bordeaux. You're at the prettiest spot. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
I don't even have to hesitate. It's the Mira de Ou.
I wondered it would be. Okay.
This is my favorite spot. I go here daily. It goes through this cycle where you have 3 minutes that the water sort of drains, and it gives the mirror effect where just across the Place de la Bourse, which sort of curves around in a hugging style, like the arms of the Vatican. Mm-hmm. It reflects onto the mirror. So it goes through 3 minutes of that, and then it has 3 minutes of steam, and then it has 15 minutes where the water fills up.
Of steam? Sorry?
Steam, yeah. So it,
misting,
it creates
or
this cloud of mist that rises up out of it. So at this time of the year, where the weather is cooling down and the water from the mirror is still warm, it creates this sort of rolling fog that goes across the big square. And so it's really interesting to look at. And since I do go there every day, it's interesting to see how the light changes. The sun sets behind it. So it's a beautiful place to watch the sunset. And just to see how the light has changed over the course of the last few months as the days have gotten shorter, and how the position of the sun in the sky changes and creates different light effects on it is really interesting. So it's definitely my favorite place in Bordeaux.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Bordeaux.
The French with their dogs is just, it's a whole another part of the French culture. And the Italians weren't so crazy about dogs. And so,
oh, interesting. Okay.
For me, now living in France with a dog, when I lived previously in Italy with a dog, it really makes me laugh because they always have to stop and sort of coo over her. And I don't have a little dog. I have an Aussie Shepherd mix.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So she's a larger dog, but she's an unusual white shepherd to see here in France. It's not a typical dog. But everyone has to stop and talk about her. And a lot of times I still don't understand what they're saying because I'm just working on my French, but it does make me laugh. It's a definitely only in Bordeaux thing.
Finish this thought. You really know you're in Bordeaux when what?
When you're having fantastic wine. I can say that having lived in Italy where there's is really good wine, but the wine, when you come to Bordeaux and you have the wine here, is life-changing. You will not look at wine again ever in the same way. It's just, it's a whole different level of wine. It's really good.
And if you had to summarize Bordeaux in just three words, what three words would you use?
Luxury, wine, and adventure really encompass it all.
Now, I wasn't asking you to summarize your blog, just would that be the same three words if we were to summarize where you are writing about?
It would. It really...
There's a reason really, why you ended up in Bordeaux then.
I think it was a really good match. But no, seriously, luxury, wine, and adventure. The luxury part of it being that it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's really expensive, like a Michelin-starred meal, but just having the luxury of drinking some of the world's best wine and having it available all the time here is something that's definitely a luxury. And then, like I said, there's a lot of things that you can go and do that are adventure-related that are so close to the city. And of course, it's Bordeaux, so it's synonymous with wine.
So we're talking again to Jennifer Dombrowski from luxadventuretraveler.com. Jennifer, if we had one particular post about Bordeaux that you've written recently that you want to recommend to our audience, what would that be?
I would say to go to my website and check out a very recent post that's about the Bordeaux's food and wine scene. Okay. And so I share a lot of the specialties of the region and some of my favorite places to eat and some of my favorite desserts to try, as well as great wines.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for your newfound home of Bordeaux.
Thank you for having me.
An update on the Amateur Traveler trips for next year. As you know, there are two trips going on next year, one in June to Japan and one in November to India. Links to both of those under the book travel tab at amateurtraveler.com. And when I say next year, I'm talking about 2017. I understand you may live in the future, but I live in the past. One piece of news on the Japan trip is that Context Travel has offered us a day trip in one of the cities. So we're still deciding that. If you sign up for the tour, you can help me make that decision. But basically, they do some wonderful day trips. And so we're going to do one of their day trips either in Tokyo or Kyoto. More information about that in the Amateur Traveler Trips group, amateurtraveler.com/trips. In news of the community, I heard today from Mike, who said, "I've been listening to the podcast since 2007 and have enjoyed it very much. Just wanted to let you know that we just completed the cruise between Valparaiso and Buenos Aires that you described in a podcast. We love the cruise and never would have known about it, but for your podcast. Thanks for all your insights and tips throughout the years, and please feel free to let Holland America know that your podcast had an impact on their business. Also, we intend to highly recommend the cruise to other travelers we know and meet on the road. Thanks again for all you do with the podcast." And Mike, doubly thanks. One, thanks for getting back to me. And two, also thanks for giving me that feedback about Holland America. And you bet that the next email I sent was to the person who sent me on that cruise. But it was a fun cruise. I agree with you. And I still think that it's a great thing that after you've done that cruise that you want to do to Alaska, it's a similar cruise with glaciers, but then you're also in South America. So you get interesting things like Buenos Aires and Valparaiso, which are both interesting cities. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram as Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.